So the astronauts for Artemis 3 have been announced. And look.
This is excitement, man. It's exciting.
It's exciting because when you look at what Artemis 2 was about.
Yeah.
And the excitement that it generated and the fact that they were able to do things that we haven't done before. We pushed the boundary. Well, Artemis 3 is going to do the same thing. And I want to give you these names. Here is the four astronauts that will be sent on the Artemis 3 mission. Andy Breznik, Luca Pomerito, Frank Rubio, and Andre Douglas are part of this crew. And the goal is to test these lunar landers that are slated to carry astronauts to the surface of the moon during Artemis 4 in 2028. So right off the heels of Artemis 2, we're just boom.
Back up there, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Let's talk about it. Carlton Johnson's the CEO of the National Space Society and joins us this morning. Carlton, it's great to have you back.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for having me back.
We're great.
It was an exciting day yesterday I think everybody's excited for Artemis 3. What was your impression of the crew? What's your impression of the mission as we push forward here?
Well, you know, I think that NASA, we said it at the beginning, I think that NASA is really doing a good job on selecting a balanced team. They've got a veteran spaceflight expert who has uncontested leadership. They have a test pilot with extreme experience as well, record-setting operational experience. All across the board, they've identified people who are the best of the best. And I think that for me, what stands out the most is that this crew really reflects what I think is going to be the future of exploration itself, because it includes government astronauts, international partners, operational experts and systems engineers. So that's really increasing how we're going to, as humanity, explore for decades to come.
Carlton, one fascinating part about this mission is that NASA is depending heavily on private companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin. Are we entering a new era where, you know, private industry is becoming just as important as government agencies when it comes to space exploration?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this particular mission is the first time that, you know, we are building direct integration around commercial spacecraft, looking at what the government has provided in the past and then leveraging heavily on the commercial side. There's, you know, when you look at the past, everything was pretty much a government operation with some things contracted out. Now, commercial space has a different play in this, and this is the way that I think we're going to do this moving into the future. I think it's a good thing because it helps the economy. It helps us do things the right way. And frankly, it helps us to leverage the experience and expertise that commercial space has to offer. So this is not only exciting, it's the smartest thing I think we can do.
Is competition, you think, accelerating innovation the way NASA hopes it will?
So here's my view. Competition is going to increase as we get more people into the market. Right now, you have a lot of the bigs that are playing, and I think that's okay for right now. But as we go down the road, you're going to start seeing more and more companies come into this sector. And then as you get more competition in that case, NASA is going to be able to look and say, this is what works best for us, but we're open to the idea of innovation. And that's really the key, because innovation is going to open a lot of doors. The space is hard. We have to think differently. And although we have 100,000 smart people at NASA, I'd rather have a couple million people behind the switch going, hey, what do you think about this?
Right. Yeah. Right. Andre Douglas is the only crew member making his spaceflight debut. That's a heck of a debut.
Yeah.
And he was one of the backup crew members for Artemis 2. And he told NBC that one of the challenges was figuring out how to stay ready for that flight, but at the same time, you know, letting the crew do their thing for Artemis 2. So I think that's awesome. What is it? What exactly is the point of Artemis 3's mission here?
So the key thing is this. They're going to conduct rendezvous operations and docking operations. They're going to test spacecraft systems, evaluate procedures, And I also understand that they're going to validate the operational, let's just say, choreography that's required for the future lunar missions. So this, in many ways, is rehearsing what they're going to do to go to the moon. Again, I think this is a very smart thing. We used to do this in military all the time. You always want to practice before you go out. This is going to prove that all the things that they have lined up work together correctly. And then we can do it safely in low Earth orbit, come back down and correcting the issues if necessary versus being at the moon and having a problem. It's amazing.
Well, and this is going to be, I believe, a two-week mission, so it's going to be 4 days longer than Artemis 2. And again, just pushing the boundaries with the best in the world. Great stuff, Carlton Johnson with the National Space Society. We appreciate your insight as always. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
Yeah. You got it.
You know, and I think this mission also carries some geopolitical implications because, you know, China plans to land astronauts on the moon, they say, by 2030. So, you know, it's almost kind of like a modern version of the Cold War in space.
Well, yeah, there is an element of a race there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, and this is something that we have been pushing towards for a long time. And all the while, I mean, don't forget, like, you got Elon, you got Jeff Bezos out there building landers for Artemis 3 to test. So it's a collaborative effort on this front as well. 8 o'clock hour coming up. Get you caught up on the headlines. Also, what's going on with the Dylan Larkin trade? It's next.